All right. Well, good morning. And today we're going to finish our series that we've been doing on finishing the race. And today is the final lesson in that series. So why is it that people fall away? Why is it that many people never cross the finish line? Well, I believe it's because they fail to do some important disciplines. They fail to exercise important disciplines that will help them stay strong and finish the race. And so there are several that I want to mention today. Absolutely vital. If you don't do these, you will not finish the race. These are critical if we're going to run the race and finish. Number one, we need to stay in the Scriptures. Stay in the Scriptures. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Notice what Peter says. Like a baby desires its mama's milk, you should desire the milk of Scripture. And as a result, you will grow, but you won't grow without the milk. Just like a baby won't grow without the milk. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I can't emphasize enough the importance of staying in the Word. We talked about this on Wednesday night as well. The term that is used for this throughout Scripture is meditation. Throughout the Old Testament, you see this word over and over and over again, meditation. Listen to what God says to Joshua in Joshua 1, 8, and 9. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now this is the King James language, obviously. But notice the importance of meditation. Meditation. It's absolutely essential. Now, meditation is not emptying the mind like we see in many, you know, the Eastern religions where they just try to clear out their mind. No, biblical meditation is filling your mind. Biblical meditation is getting in the Word and then letting that Word get into you. It's thinking about what you're reading. Meditation involves time and it involves deep thought. It involves those things. And I think that's where we lack in Bible study. I think what we do, in many cases, we're reading a book or whatever, you know, passage we're in. We read that and we think, okay, I did my duty for the day. And then we go on about our day. As though that was it. No, we're supposed to take that with us throughout the day. You see, meditation takes time. Can't meditate in 5 minutes. Can't meditate even 15 minutes. It takes time and it takes deep thought. Now you may think that this is impractical. You know, I mean, I don't have time for that. I've got children. I've got a business to run, or I've got a job, or I've got all these things going on in my life. Well, I have one question for you. Do you think Joshua was busy? What was Joshua doing? He was just leading about 2 million Jews. That's all. 2 million Jews. You imagine the responsibility and the work that Joshua was doing. If anybody could say, hey, I don't have time to meditate, it'd be Joshua. So Joshua had all these Jews that he had to manage, and it must have been very, very difficult. But see, what you want to do, and this is what I do, and what I do may not necessarily work for you, but what I like to do is I like to read a passage of Scripture, And then as I read that passage, I underline all the good verses. And you think, what are the good verses? Well, they're the ones you think are good. You'll know them when you see them. They're the ones that make you want to underline them. How many of you underline your Bible? That's a good practice to get into. And so why did you underline what you underlined? Because it meant something to you. It was powerful. You connected with that. And so that's what I'm talking about. Take time and thought, thinking about all those good verses, all those verses that you marked. And then what's the main idea in the text? What is the main idea that this text is encouraging me to do or not do? And then I think about all the different ways that this can be applied. And this is the way you get the word in you, deep in your heart. You have to ponder God's truths. Just casually reading will not get them in our heart where they need to be. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, Scripture is going to be your protection against sin. When the devil comes your way, you'll be able to do what Jesus did. It is written. But you can't do that if you ain't reading the Bible and you're not memorizing Scripture. Scripture is essential if we're going to run this race and finish. But number two, we need to stay close to God's people. Stay close to God's people. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin is deceitful. Sin can get in our heart and in our lives, and it can cause us to turn away from God. So, what's the remedy? What's the answer for that? Verse 12. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another day after day after day after day. We need people in our lives encouraging us. If you don't have encouragement, and even daily encouragement, you could easily be deceived by sin, and as a result, you can depart or turn away from the living God. Listen, Christian fellowship is not a luxury, it is a necessity. You can't do this alone. Christianity was never meant to be done in isolation of other believers. You see, Matt Dillon had Jester, the Lone Ranger had Tonto, Batman had Robin. Who do you have? Who do you have? Who is in your life? You see, the enemy loves to isolate us, to get us over here alone. And he knows that if he can do that, he will eventually get to you. He's had thousands and thousands of years of experience. He knows what he's doing. We need brothers and sisters that will help us see the blind spots in our lives. We can't always see the blind spots in our lives. Other people can. And here's the other thing. I can see them in your life. See, it's easy for me to see the blind spots in your life. But it's so difficult to look in the mirror and see the blind spots in my life. And that's why it's important that I have brothers and sisters that help me, that say, "Hey, you might want to look at this. Maybe you might be having a problem with this." We need brothers and sisters to help us see our faults. You see, the truth is we all need people in our lives who will encourage us and tell us when they think we're getting off track. We need people like that. Because it's easy to get off track. If you've been a Christian any time at all, you know that it's easy to get off track. And so we need those people in our lives who kind of gently lead us back to the right path. You see, Satan will try to isolate you from your church family. Don't let him. If you do, you're asking for trouble. You see, people who don't finish the race are people who don't associate with other Christians. They try to do Christianity all by themselves. That's not the way it's supposed to be lived. I mean, even Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, how did he send them? Did he send them one by one? No. He sent them two by two. We need people in our lives. So, if you're going to run this race and finish, stay close to God's people. Number three, stay alert to the devil. Stay alert to the devil. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." This is no time to be careless or to be carefree. And many of us can get into this careless or carefree attitude. We need to be careful. We must stay alert to the schemes of the devil. Here's the reality. We're at war. That's the reality and that's the truth. We are at war. Satan is after you. He's after your mate. He's after your children. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your church family. That's what he's up to. And here's the reality. Our foe is smarter and wiser than we are. And he's stronger than we are. And that's why we need the Lord. And that's why we need to stay alert to Satan. Because Paul says over in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day." In other words, if you don't put on that full armor of God, you're not going to stand in the evil day. That's what Paul is saying. And if you want to, just look back. History is strewn with the wreckage of lies that Satan has destroyed through the centuries. So many people. And some of those people you know. Some of those people we read about. But it's sad as we look back. Number four, you got to stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, I didn't put it up there, verse 41, he says to the disciples, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Pay attention to that. The flesh, it's weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And because of the flesh, all the more that we need to pray, that we need to go to God. Mark it down. Prayer is where the battle is won. That's the reality. That's truth. You see, Gethsemane preceded Calvary. Jesus went to the garden before he went to the cross. And in the garden, he prayed. And that's where he found the strength to go all the way to the cross. See, you'll never be stronger than your prayer life. And no church will ever be mightier than the prayers of its people. You see, the devil does not want us to pray. He doesn't care what else we do. He's even okay if we read the Bible. He's okay if we assemble and worship God. He just doesn't want us to pray. Why doesn't he want us to pray? Because he can't stand against God. That's why. And when we pray, We butt him up with God. That's what happens. He is no match for God. We need to pray. We need to pray. And when we pray, the power of God descends. And Satan's defeated. That's what happens. Remember when God's people in Acts chapter 4, they were being persecuted and they went to their own. And what did they do? They prayed. Remember, in that house where they were gathered was shaken. And they went out of there more bold, preaching the gospel more boldly than they had previously. Notice, prayer made the difference. It made the difference. Here were people strictly told, do not preach or teach in this man's name anymore. Well, they did. They prayed about it first. And God gave them the boldness to go out and do what he commanded them to do. Over here in Luke, whoop, what happened there? Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32. Jesus comes to Peter and he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And so Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. But I prayed for you. And when you do, and when you're converted, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. What kept Peter faithful? What kept Peter from falling away? It was the prayers of Jesus. That's what it was. That's what it was. You need to pray. Here's the reality. You cannot afford not to pray. You can't afford not to. And then the last thing. Stay away from the things that weaken you. Stay away from those things that weaken you. The very first lesson was on these two verses, and we've been using them as a theme with every lesson. But the Hebrew writer says, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, here he's warning us and he's encouraging us. We need to lay aside every weight and lay aside every sin. Deal with that, he tells us to, because if you don't, it's going to be a problem. Because each one of us has weaknesses. I have weaknesses, you have weaknesses. My weaknesses may not be your weaknesses, and your weaknesses may not be mine. But you have them and I have them. And we may share the same weaknesses, some of us in this place. But every one of us has weaknesses, and we need to recognize that we have weaknesses. Remember Superman? You remember what his weakness was? Yeah, kryptonite. Kryptonite. He was from the planet Krypton. And so when he got around kryptonite, he was human instead of superhuman. It was a weakness for him. Well, let me ask you, what weakens you? Pornography? Certain movies? Alcohol? Internet sites? Certain music? And I would throw in rap. I mean, a lot of rap. I don't understand rap, but a lot of what I have heard is nothing but every cuss word under heaven. Just one after another, after another, after another. Now, I know Doug likes Christian rap, and I've never really heard any Christian rap, but boy, this stuff, that the filth that's out there that the world listens to, it is filth. It is absolute filth. I don't know how anybody can listen to that. But then you've got drugs, and then maybe they're friends. They're friends that when you get around them, they weaken you. They're like kryptonite. You can't resist that drink when they're around. You can't resist that toke on a joint when they're around. You know, they weaken you. Listen And this weakness can lead to sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul says, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company will corrupt the good morals that are in your life. That's what he's telling us. And so let me ask you, are you keeping your distance? Are you keeping your distance from those things that weaken you? They could be certain activities, it could be friends, it can be a variety of things, but whatever it is that weakens you, you need to stay away from them. When it comes to our salvation, we cannot be too careful. And if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to use this to close out this sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what I want for every person here today. This is Paul. He's at the finish line. He's in prison. He's about to be martyred for his faith. And he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Could you write those words? Honestly, could you write these words? I hope that you can, and I hope that you will one day. For those of you who are struggling, maybe there's a certain sin in your life that's dominating you, the thing that I would encourage you to do is come and ask for prayer. That's one of the best things you can do is seek help. And if you'll seek help, God will provide that help for you. If you've never entered the race, you've never begun the Christian race, this morning you can do that. And we're going to sing a song, and as we do, it's to encourage you to come forward. And we want to tell you about Jesus so you can jump in this race and so you can run well. And we'll help you with that as well. So whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing this morning.